The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me, naked, and you clothed me, ill, and you cared for me, in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked or ill, or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So I don't know where she said it or perhaps wrote it, but there's a saying, a teaching attributed to Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta that I've come across in various places at various times. But I think at some point, perhaps she said it, certainly expresses the truth, but she said that the reason that we don't have peace is because we've forgotten that we belong to each other. So we don't have peace because we've forgotten that we belong to one another, meaning all of humanity. What we do in this life matters. Choices matter. And certainly in this life, they matter. But they also matter for eternal life. And for these last few weeks, always at this time of the year, as we come to the end of our liturgical year, this is the final week of the liturgical year, we'll begin and end of the new year next Sunday, church focuses our attention on what God has to say to us about the end of our lives, about death, and about eternal life, and this reality of heaven and hell, and that it's connected to our choices. And so, in that regard, what we do here matters, but also God is revealing this so we can get to heaven. That's why he made each of us. That's his desire. And so he's not kind of hiding something. It's not like at the end of our lives there'll be some sort of, aha, gotcha, didn't tell you about that, pop quiz. No, God's not trying to trip us up. And so he reveals to us how to live this life well, how to live it properly, what choices to make that allow us to hear, as we heard in our gospel today, "Well done, enter in the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And before God created the universe, that's why he made us, that's what he desires, and yet we don't have to choose that. We can choose hell. Not that we would choose pain and suffering, but this reality that we don't have to choose God, who is life. And so he wants to reveal to us how we can choose him, how we can choose heaven, and what that means. And so part of that is today's gospel, today's readings, and something that I'm sure is familiar to maybe all of us. Parable of the sheep and the goats, and Jesus separating us based on how we care for those in need around us. How we come to the aid of those who are poor in some way. And Jesus' descriptions are all about, you might say, a certain physical poverty, someone who's naked or hungry or thirsty or in prison or sick or without a home. What do I do with what I have to help that person? And more than that, it's amazing that Jesus connects himself to those people who are in need like that, those who are poor. And he doesn't say just, when you do it to them, it's as if you're doing it to me. He says that when you do it to them, you did it to me. We're really able, we really want to love the Lord. One way that we can do it and must do it, and that it's possible to do it, is loving it and those in need. That Jesus is present. It's true for you and I, when our needs, and it's true for others. And so this is one of the criteria, right? The criteria for getting into heaven, so to speak, the criteria for eternal life and happiness isn't just to die. Not like, well, if you die, you go to heaven. That's not what God says. In Jesus, God has destroyed sin and death and their power. But it's to belong to Jesus. It's to belong to Jesus. It's to be in friendship with Jesus. It's not just to know things about Jesus, but it's to be with him. And so what that means in this life is to live a certain way. And so, yes, there are aspects that we don't hear about in our gospel that we hear about in other places from Jesus, like we have to forgive. That's what we pray every time in the Our Father, and certainly in Mass, right? Forgive me, have mercy on me, God, as I forgive others. It's a condition. God's love is unconditional. It's who he is. Eternal life, there's conditions. Forgiveness, there's conditions to forgive. Yes, we're meant to be able to share Jesus, to not be ashamed of Jesus, to not deny Jesus. With, again, a desire, one, because we just love Jesus, we know how good he is, but also we know his love for others, and we want, he made them to know him, we want them to come to know him, and to experience his life, and ultimately happiness. Yes, that's a part of eternal life, to not deny Jesus, not be ashamed of Jesus, not be silent about Jesus. But today, this absolutely necessary condition, an aspect, to be able to love those in need, and to know that I'm loving Jesus, I love God, that's how one of the ways that I love God. And interestingly enough, so to speak, right, it's not based on whether or not they deserve it. Sometimes that can be our mentality, well, of course, I'll help this person because like, it's not their fault. And sometimes it is our fault, the condition we find ourselves in our need. But God doesn't say, well, only help those in need where it's not their fault. If there is a need and I can meet it, then I need to love them in that way. And then perhaps the clearest example of that in today's parable is about visiting those in prison. Jesus doesn't say, well, go and visit those in prison who are there unjustly. Someone who's in prison and they didn't do it. No, it includes those who are there justly. Someone's done something horrifically unjust, and yet there's a need there. Be able to meet it, right? It's not to excuse the injustice. You know, there's two images that we see in our today's reading of Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd, and Jesus is the judge, the just and merciful judge. And they're both parts of who Jesus is and his identity, and they go hand in hand. I mean, sometimes those two images might kind of in our minds almost be opposed to one another, because part of the good shepherd image, and rightly so, is of Jesus as somebody who is merciful and compassionate and tender, lays down his life. And the image of a judge certainly is, and in Jesus this is true, it's somebody who is bringing truth and justice. And in Jesus there go hand in hand. And so it's to recognize in all Jesus and only in Jesus do we find mercy and justice. Truth, but there's still a kind of tenderness and a desire to forgive and to seek out. And it's again, It's not, it can be there, certainly some sort of maybe sentimentality or saccharineness, or on the other side of the judge who's vindictive or arbitrary or just about his own ends, using his authority for his own selfishness, right? None of those are Jesus. But he is a good shepherd and he is the judge. So he gives us today something very clear, something that is not kind of difficult to understand, though sometimes it can be hard to live out. And it's not about how much, I don't need to have a certain amount of money to do this. It's about an attitude of the heart. So to just be strengthened first to see that that's how Jesus loves you, all of us. That all of us are poor. We are not just poor, but destitute and broken when it comes to our own salvation or forgiveness. Jesus seeks us out, you know, and he gives us everything. He pours everything out. So it's always a response, to recognize that that's how God loves me, that that's what he's done for me, that that's what he's given me and continues to give me, and then to be strengthened to do the same. It's in our daily lives. We know that there are opportunities. You know, for parents, it's with their children. I know growing up, when I heard this parable, I would think about, okay, somebody who's hungry, well, they're, you know, out on the streets and they don't have any food, or they don't have shelter, or they don't have clothing. True enough, it can and does include those people. I don't remember who it was at some point when I was older, so it was like talking about how, well, that includes for parents, that's their children, right? Well, they're born naked and they're born hungry and they don't have clothing and shelter, and their parents give them all of those things, right? So even at home, this is true. It's true in our parish. It's part of what a parish community is, to be able to have a home. Yes, it's a place of worship, but it's also a place of community where everybody is able to receive what they need. And we care for one another in our own different ways and our own needs. It's in the greater community. It's in the world. We live in a day and age where we can know about, and in some way, oftentimes come to the aid of someone that lives halfway around the world that we're never going to meet in this life. Advent season, we've been, even before that, kind of preparing for Christmas, but doing those, right, these boxes of joy, being one way of just being able to send gifts to somebody. I think it's kind of in Haiti and but different places in the world where there's a need. So it's corporal works of mercy that we hear about. It's also spiritual works of mercy. The Titus is coming to the aid of those who are in darkness, who don't have hope because they don't know Jesus, and being able to share that truth and that witness in their darkness and their ignorance, bearing patiently, forgiving, all of these ways. Jesus says it's essential. Huh? And at the same time, when we do that, we're not only loving God, but we're on the way to heaven. This month, we kind of spend time both with the saints. We started with All Saints Day in November, and then praying for those in purgatory, those who have died who are still in need of prayers to be made perfect in that holiness. They're on their way to heaven. And so it's a great day, too, just to think about how all the saints, in one way or another, are great examples in their own way of different ways of doing this. And they're so different, but it's always there. And there's so many, even just in our own lifetimes and our own age. You know, there's people like Gianna Beretta Mola, who was a wife and a mother, and part of the way she really, right, came to those in need was right in her own family, and of course her own unborn child, her daughter, and choosing her life, affirming that goodness and that dignity and that worth, even in the womb, and to protect that life, even though it endangered her own because she had cancer, and of course then laying down her life for that reason. It's certainly people like Teresa of Calcutta, on an international scale, witnessing to that poorest of the poor of Jesus' presence in everyone. And, you know, it was the case for her, and it's certainly the case, and it's obvious from Jesus' parable, it's not like people, when we do that, somehow some have some mystical vision of Jesus. We don't experience Jesus' presence usually in that person. What we experience in the moment is that person and all of their brokenness and need and everything else, and she's such a great witness of how even in the most desperate and unjust, oftentimes, of situations to be able to step in. It's people like John Paul II, again, kind of another huge figure, but how he put his gifts, some pretty amazing gifts that he had at the service of the church and the world out of love for Jesus. And certainly one of those is, right, teaching, helping to bring that truth, and through that truth, so many people experiencing freedom, but bringing it to bear when it came to what it means to be man and woman, what it means to be made in God's image in that way, and the gift of marriage and our sexuality. And certainly in our own day and age, since what we now call the sexual revolution, how so many of us have not only been wounded, but wounded others, and the confusion and the darkness is there. And he has brought just a tremendous gift, and so many have experienced that healing and that truth, and their poverty and their need. It's people like Blessed Solanus Casey, those who, as he pursued a religious vocation, those that he went to said, you're not smart enough. You don't have enough gifts. And he was even ordained eventually by the religious order that accepted him as what's called something we don't have anymore in our day, but a simplex priest, meaning, well, you can't hear confessions and you can't teach or give homilies because somehow you're not smart enough. Even though, of course, a lot of that was simply because he was Irish and the religious order was German and he didn't know German. It was hard for him to learn that language. But even that, right, he just continued to love, to give of himself, to be present to those who were in need. And of course, he became a man of tremendous wisdom, tremendous insight of God, touched many lives with that love, and God brought great fruitfulness. Go on and on. There's a woman, a servant of God called Elizabeth Mazou, a French woman who died in the 20th century. She had a good relationship with her husband. They were married. They were never able to have children. And in many ways, loved one another, but her husband was a profound, hardened atheist who spent a lot of time mocking her faith and making fun of it and ridiculing that aspect of her life. And she persevered in her faith. She offered her life for his salvation. And at her death, there were all sorts, I think it was not just dozens, but even over 100 people. Many, many people came to her funeral, to her wake, that he never met. He was like, who are these people? These people she had been caring for throughout her life. Just very quietly, very humbly, taking care of them in various ways, even though she had her own challenges and sufferings. And read her story someday, Elizabeth de Sue, because part of it is her husband's conversion to the faith after her death. Each of us has opportunities to give. We must love in this way. Our eternal destiny depends on it, heaven or hell. Jesus wants us for heaven. So as we receive him, he comes to us in our need, be strengthened, continue to make that commitment to be able to do that to one another in our daily lives.